Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a super, super timely guest for you today. Nate Papura is my guest. He is a Medicare consumer specialist with eHealth, Inc., and the website for today's program is ehealthinsurance.com. Nate, welcome to the program.
Hey, David, it's good to be back and nice to hear your voice.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for being on the program. And I was so excited when I saw you on my schedule because I'm like, yay, Nate's on the phone with us because there's so much that I need your help on, and my listeners do too. I know we need to talk about a lot. You know, we are in the throes of the Affordable Care Act or the Adorable Care Act, depending on your perspective. But there's so much misinformation out there. And to be honest with you and my listeners, I don't really completely understand it myself. So before we get into that, let's talk a little bit, though, about probably one of the things that people want to know is Medicare affected by what's going on with this whole healthcare thing?
It's a great question. The short answer is no in terms of the open enrollment period, no. So what we're hearing as a misconception is people on Medicare think that they can drop Medicare and sign up for one of these newly reformed individual plans, and that is not the case.
So they need to stick with a game plan. Now, do they have to do anything if they've already in Medicare?
Nope. Okay. Nope. I mean, Medicare's open enrollment period starts, or what they call the annual enrollment period, starts on October 15th.
Okay.
So it's a couple weeks away, or I guess we're 11 days away now. So you have that opportunity every year to go shop around.
Right.
Make sure that you are on the lowest cost prescription drug plan. Make sure that your plan gives you the best prices on the drugs that you take.
Very good.
And you can do that at our website.
Yeah, we'll give you your website again. Yep.
You can do that at healthcare.gov, Medicare.gov. There are a number of websites that will help you do that. We really like ours. We think it's very easy, but just, you know, take the time to do that because we just put out a research last week that the average person saved over $650 on prescription drug out-of-pocket costs last year when they did a comparison. So that's just...
That's excellent, Nate. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything, but we really encourage it. Pick the website of your choice. Some pharmacy websites have them, like CVS Pharmacy has a great one on their website. It's actually ours, so
okay.
You know that lets you go test that out, and just so you don't have to do anything, but we really encourage people to do that. Hopefully,
well,
you can save a little bit of money.
That's very good, Nate. And so Medicare is, you know, it's really, that's not what all the fuss is about right now. But there is something that was part when this whole legislation was being let's say processed and voted on and all of that by the Congress originally. One of the things that was talked about a lot, which I'm sure you can tell me what you think about it, is that there was money going to come out of Medicare that's going to somehow fund the Affordable Care or what is being called Obamacare, some number like 700 million or billion, some big number was going to somehow over the next 10 years be redirected. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, so what they had promised to do was reduce, it wasn't so much, you know, in Washington, if you don't spend more than you spent last year, it's a cut, right?
Yeah.
So if it was
$1,000
last year, right, if it was $1,000 last year and it's $1,000 this year, then you've cut the program because it really needs to be $1,100. So,
okay.
So what they promised to do was lower the rate of growth in Medicare and save $700 million, something like that. They were going to do that in a number of ways. reducing reimbursements to providers that provide poor quality care, things like that. Now, interestingly enough, they delayed those for this year, at least earlier this year. So there was a fairly decent amount of news about around that, but I don't know if the cost-saving measures weren't saving as much or whatever, but they did delay the cuts at least for this year. So I think you might still see some things trickle through. I haven't really dug into the premium data yet. The government makes a public use file available that you can dig up, and you can actually compare the premiums from this year to last year. We do a report on that every year too. But so I would have done that, but it's just been so nuts. And also, my wife just had our third baby.
Oh boy! Congratulations.
Son. Yes, so I'm fried. I'm like a whirling dervish, though. So.
Well, if you're just joining us, Nate Papur is my guest today, ladies and gentlemen. He's a Medicare consumer specialist, eHealth Inc., and the website is ehealthinsurance.com. Let's do this, Nate. Let's grab a quick break and come back. I'd like you to help us debunk some of the Medicare myths that are out there and help our listeners understand what's going on. So stay right there.
Great.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back with Nate Papur. In addition to now having a third child, I think that's a major milestone. I think you are our all-time leading repeat guest our program. So I have to do a little fact check on that.
I get a T-shirt or anything?
I didn't want to spoil it for you, but yeah, there's going to be some. Maybe we'll get Snopes to check that fact for me, Lisa. But anyway, so Nate is with eHealth, and we've had him on the program a number of times to help us with help us understand this thing that is 1/6 or 1/7 of our economy, and that's health insurance and the whole medical field. And ehealthinsurance.com is a great website you can go to and get more information. I asked Nate to be thinking about on the break to help us with debunking some of these Medicare myths. So, you know, with all of what's going on with healthcare and health insurance in flux, I'm going to ask you some kind of, you can either consider them loaded questions or softball questions. The first one, as it relates to Medicare, are premiums going to rise?
Yes.
Okay. That was an easy question to ask because...
Let me caveat that by saying they always rise.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say for 16 years that I've had my company, I have received and absorbed for my employees a premium increase every single year. Because we pay for 100% of their health insurance. So we've dealt with that, and that's just the way it is. With regard to Medicare, will they be able to see the same doctors?
You know, that is going to be such a regional...
Okay, so it depends. It's one of those questions where it depends.
It really depends. I mean, I think in general the answer is yes, but just to be 100% transparent here, with the Affordable Care Act, you're going to have... potentially a lot more people entering the system. One of the goals is to get people to stop going to the emergency room and going to less expensive care facilities, and that's going to put a tax on primary care physicians.
Well, hold on, Nate. Now, didn't the president say that you'd be able to see your same doctor? You just might have to wait 6 months because of the demand for services, right?
I don't want to get into politics.
I know. I'm just saying.
But
that's
going to
be the rub.
Work.
Yeah, but that's going to be the rub.
Yeah, probably if you can see the same doctor, it might cost you more money.
Yeah, you know? Or maybe you have to wait, and that's just going to be the rub of. I mean, you hit the point, and I'm kind of pointing out the obvious here with politics, but you hit the point, Nate, and there's going to be a lot more utilization of medical services in general. Now,
and we have a shortage of physicians in the country too.
I know. I'm thinking about too. You know what? I'm thinking I need to go back and pick up my medical degree, and you know. They come in for financial planning, Nate. I'll give them their annual preventive checkup.
I love that idea. That's a great idea.
Diversification is a wonderful thing.
You know, the thing is, you might have to become a government employee at some point. So think about that before you make that decision.
Okay, maybe not. So do Medicare beneficiaries, my next in my series of my questions for Nate here, do Medicare beneficiaries need to buy more health insurance to comply with the Affordable Care Act?
No.
Okay. Will beneficiaries...
So this is a really good point.
Okay, go ahead.
People have heard about the healthcare tax and
the 3.8% Medicare tax. Yeah.
Well, no, they've heard about the tax if you don't have health insurance.
Do you know how much that is off the top of your head?
It's 1% of your gross adjusted income this year, and it goes up to 2.5% by 2016, and then it adjusts at the cost of living adjustment every year after that.
So $20,000 a year in income, that's $200?
Yeah, and then there's a minimum, I think it's $95 this year, and the maximum is 3 times the minimum. So, you know, by 2016, I think the minimum is like $295 or something like that, and it's and it goes up to, you know, about a grand or $900. So I don't, I've got it somewhere here in my stack of stuff, but you know, it's 2.5% of income is not insignificant. But I don't think it's gonna be that harsh this year. But people need to know that because I've seen this in TurboTax and other places. People are concerned: is their Medicare coverage enough to qualify them? And the answer is yes.
Okay. Let me ask you, I've got some more I want to get to. Will, because this is a very related question. Will beneficiaries, Medicare beneficiaries, have to pay more for their medications under Obamacare?
No. In fact, it looks like the numbers are going down. We do this analysis every year, and I think last year about 33% of people who used our website and our prescription drug tools hit Medicare's donut hole. This is the coverage gap when all of a sudden you have to pay all the out-of-pocket costs.
Right.
About a third last year. This year it was under 10%.
Okay.
So that's a really, you know, that's a really positive trend. You know, the Affordable Care Act creates discounts on prescription drugs once you hit the donut hole. So it's 50%, a little over 50% if you're on a brand drug, and I think it's getting close to 10% on the generic. So that's helping. But then also a lot of the really popular brand drugs like Lipitor have gone generic. And, that's, you know, last year Lipitor was the number one prescription drug entered into our prescription drug plan comparison tool.
That's for cholesterol, right?
That's for cholesterol.
Okay.
And this year it's near the bottom, but atorvastatin, the generic, and a couple different generic versions of it are near the top. So tells me a couple good things. People are using the tool, which is great, and they're also, you know, being smart about looking for generic drugs, hopefully looking for mail order. But the Affordable Care Act does help out if you're on Medicare with prescription drug costs, though.
So. Okay. So here's one that may be a little bit of an extreme question, but I imagine that some people are wondering about this. Is Medicare, as we know it, going to end? Will it be folded into these exchanges, these other programs that are being put out there?
You know, I have no idea, but my opinion is no.
Okay. You know, well, that's an honest answer. That's what we need.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I read an article a couple months ago that showed that the Medicare Actuary's Office has predicted that Medicare is going to go bankrupt or be insolvent pretty much every year since sometime in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that their math is bad. You know, I know we're borrowing money and going into debt, but it does tell me that, you know, we're committed as a country to providing health care to our senior citizens, and, you know,
well, we're gonna provide it one way or another.
Yeah, and, you know, Medicare is a popular program. People like it. And I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's incredibly popular. I don't think it's going to get folded into the exchanges, primarily, frankly, because the exchanges are all private insurance.
Right.
You know, there's no public option. You cannot go, there's no Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B there.
Okay.
You know, so it's just a different program. I don't have any inside knowledge that you don't have.
Okay, hey, I got to ask you, Nate, you're the expert Medicare consumer specialist with eHealth. Nate Papur is our guest today, ehealthinsurance.com. Quick break, Nate, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back with Nate Papura, my most frequent flyer guest. Nate Papura, he is from eHealth Inc., and the website is ehealthinsurance.com, and we're talking about Medicare, and we're going to shift gears, Nate, if it's okay with you. I'd like to get your thoughts. Well, not just thoughts, I guess there's been so much out there in the news and the media, and I mean, boy, everybody's just, some of the stations, you know, it seems like they all got a vested interest, and it's just a humongous public relations campaign being waged. And so my question to you is, give our listeners just a general overview, if you would, of what is happening. You mentioned these exchanges. So what are the exchanges? You mentioned it not being a public option. It's really a private insurance. So just give us a nuts and bolts explanation of what this is all about.
So the short answer is exchanges are a government version of ehealthinsurance.com,
okay.
The website that we built 15 years ago.
Okay. So they copied you guys.
They copied us to a certain extent, yeah. The difference is that if you are lower income, you can go to an exchange, or in 36 states, we've been licensed by the government to do this as well. You can apply for a health insurance plan, and when you do that, you can fill out an extra application and see if you qualify for a subsidy or a premium tax credit that lowers your premium.
Okay. And they so get the that credit on their tax return.
No, it actually comes out of your monthly premium.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, good.
Yeah. And so what the exchange is at the federal level that I think a lot of people don't get is it's basically a data hub that connects Homeland Security, IRS, employment verification. It does all these things to determine whether or not you're eligible to receive a subsidy. So it has to determine, are you a citizen? Did you qualify for subsidy based on your income? Do you have access to affordable insurance from another source, like an employer or Medicare? And if you have access to insurance from another source that's affordable, you don't qualify for a subsidy. You can still buy insurance through the exchange, but the government won't subsidize it. If you're not a citizen, you can't get it. If you earn over 400% of the federal poverty level, which is about $45,000 a year for an individual, then you won't qualify for it. So that's what the data hub at the federal level does. And then all these websites, whether it's ours or the state exchanges, at some point have to plug into that. And if you want a subsidy, you have to go through and, fill out the application, and the government will tell you that you're eligible or not eligible.
And
back and shop.
Okay, cool. And when you come back and shop, are you able to get the insurance without the whole evidence of insurability? Is it guaranteed issue?
Guaranteed issue. That's why we have an open enrollment period.
And that's the key part to this that makes so that, and that's where the concerns come from people, signing up that couldn't get coverage before because they had a pre-existing condition. And that's where the potential impact is on premiums overall.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that people who've been declined private insurance now have an opportunity during this open enrollment period to sign up.
So they can sign up, they can get insurance where they couldn't before, and they could potentially get a subsidy.
Correct.
And theoretically, or hopefully, the price, because of so many people going into this, hopefully will be that they'll be able to get it at a price that they wouldn't be able to get it at otherwise because of these big exchanges.
Correct. One of the things the law does is it makes sort of one big risk pool. So if you get insurance from... It used to be if you're an individual, the health insurance company underwrites you as an individual. So you're a risk pool of one.
Right.
And what they're trying to do here is create a much bigger risk pool in the individual market, similar to what you have at like a big company where there's, like IBM, where there's thousands of employees, the healthy balance out the sick, hopefully, and you get lower premiums. So that's one of the things they're trying to do here, and they've required the insurance companies to do. So you need a lot of healthy people to get in because we know that the sick people are going to rush out to buy health insurance. And I think that's one of the reasons they partnered with, companies like us, because we're really good at the online thing. We're really good at getting young people in the door. And, the other news that came out a couple weeks ago is that these plans cost less than the government, I think, thought they were going to, because, 21-year-old, for example, doesn't qualify for a subsidy unless their income falls below, like, $30,000. And that's not because of their income. It's because plans are only subsidizable if they become, quote unquote, unaffordable under the definition of the law. And the law says if you make $45,000 a year, a plan is unaffordable if it costs more than 9.5% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
and then the government will step in and subsidize whatever the cost is above that percent. So that's when the subsidies start to kick in. But if the plan's 8% of your income, there's no subsidy for you. And so the plans cost less than anticipated, and so younger folks don't have to go through that subsidy application unless their income falls, you know, around the $30,000 range. Then you might start to save $5, $10, $25, $50 a month as your income goes down. And I think that's a really good thing, because we just know from being in the e-commerce space that a long, complicated application, especially online, just diminishes the number of people who actually complete it.
Yeah, amen to that. Nate Papur is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, eHealth Inc., and the website is ehealthinsurance.com. Quick break, Nate, and we'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Nate Papura, our guest from eHealth, eHealthInsurance.com. Nate, so you talked before the break about what's really happening here with these big exchanges, and it's all private insurance, but it's guaranteed insurability. There could be a potential subsidy for the applicant. It's really like creating a big risk pool, or one. It's like really like a big business, a group health insurance plan that's basically been put together by the government. Now, let's talk. So that makes me think about the other side of this. We're hearing in the news some pretty notable, respected, large companies basically saying we're not going to offer our health insurance plans anymore, and we're just going to give you an allowance or add it to your pay, and you can go join one of these exchanges.
Yes, we are. Yep.
So we're seeing that impact, and so now that may actually help what you were referring to before about getting more healthy people on the plans, because, of course, a lot of the people that are on those group plans, you know, are going to be statistically probably healthier than people that don't have insurance right now who are joining because they couldn't get it before. So that could have a positive impact on at least the risk pool.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It's hard to weigh the impact of
that. Yeah, we just won't know until we shake it out.
I think that's certainly one, yes.
Well, and I think also for the business owners listening, aside from the potential, which is not to be underestimated, and I'm bracing for a potential health insurance premium increase later this year myself for my business, but aside from the premium increase potential, are we anticipating any impact on group health plans for small businesses, and or was there a break point? Kind of help us with that.
Yeah, so the small business space is really interesting. It's health insurance is state by state, and you know sometimes insurer by insurer. But we just worked on a story with the Wall Street Journal about this. Basically, the law does make some changes to the small group market. It caps deductibles at $2,500 a month. Does some other things that potentially make the plans available next year more expensive. So what a lot of insurance companies are doing is offering early renewal. And so this has really been popular with our customers. What we've done is go through and look at our book of business and look at those customers that have, you know, certain profiles where we think they might save money by renewing early. And we've contacted pretty much all of them and said, look, you know, this is an option. The insurance company is offering to renew you on last year's plan with last year's benefit, and then we'll look at their profile and say, based on your profile, we think it might be a good idea for you to go ahead and take us up, you know, to go ahead and take them up on that.
Well, let me ask you this.
We'll probably save money on your premiums from next year. And
yeah,
then some groups were saying, you know, you might want to wait and see.
And that would be good if they could save money. I mean, but let me ask you this, Nate. The main thing that may affect small businesses, and small business with what, 50 and under?
Yep.
Okay. So is that those plans now will be, like you said, the deductible might be capped, or the benefits, certain benefits may be required that weren't required before by those plans?
You know, so it's the big ones are the deductibles and then what's called community rating.
Okay.
So it's, you know, instead of you've got 5 25-year-olds working for you and I've got 5 55-year-olds working for me, so you get a preferred rate and I get a higher rate. Now it's the same thing. They're aggregating this as one big risk pool, and we all go into the same pool, and so we all share the risk. And okay. So, you know, if you're an older, less healthier, higher risk group, you're going to see some cost savings, and if you're a younger, healthier group, you might see some cost increases.
Whereas I may have just worried about the donuts my office ate, I need to worry about the donuts everybody's eating.
Correct. Yeah. You are now officially your brother's keeper. If you see the guy next door ordering donuts and pizza, you got to go have a talk with him.
I've always wanted to put a sticker on my car, which I won't, that says, you know, put the donut down. I'm paying for that.
So, I got to be honest. I had a donut this morning. I just needed one. So listen, you're making me feel bad.
I'm not going to tell you how many. I'm not going to tell you about some of the stuff I eat, Nate. Don't worry. We all have our cravings, I guess.
It's been a while, but I broke down today.
So. All right. Well, that's okay. So, and are you hearing what I'm hearing, that we can be looking at some significant premium increases for businesses that, you know, renew after all this stuff really gets in place?
You know, we haven't seen the rates yet.
Okay, so we just have to wait.
I mean, it sounds like, yes, there will be increases. You know, there are typically increases every year, so how extreme they're going to be,
okay,
we don't know. But what the insurers are saying is that if you renew early, you're going to save some money. So
okay. Well, that's...
You continue to see rates go up, and you know, but how extreme it's going to be, we just haven't seen it, so I don't want to speculate.
Okay, Nate, well, we won't ask you to do that, but we will have you back on another day. Nate Papur is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, Medicare consumer specialist and all-around good guy from eHealth, ehealthinsurance.com. Nate, we'll have you back.
David, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and you guys take care.
All right, thank you, and we're done? Where are we at, Lisa? We're all done. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.